I was really in control of the service until my wife came and stand next to me. And because I had everything planned and everything figured out. And now, you know, there's a bit of a shift in that. If you struggle with babies and kids making noise, or if you struggled before the service, then I'm sure you are free of that issue. You've been delivered. And I think we should maybe start off by praying for the mommy's room. I think they're going to have an interesting time. But for the sake of the mommy's room, I'll keep it short tonight so that it's not too hectic there. Right, so I want to just share a couple of thoughts. And what I'm actually going to do, I'm going to do something a bit different than we normally do at church here at Ronnebosch. I'm going to do a bit of a feedback. We've got a yearly conference, as you would have heard in the announcement, and the conference is called Convergence. And I think, yes, some people are already getting excited, but I think what we have here tonight is actually part of it. This is a bit of a convergence actually happening here with different generations and different cultures and even different denominations. And I really feel like it's almost like it's family tonight. You know, even, you know, in the context of eternity, we're all family. You know, and there's one Father. And I think what's amazing is that, you know, God, when He was before the foundation of the earth, He was, it says in Genesis that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father came together and they said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, in our form. And what I've just discovered is God actually did that. You know, it wasn't just a nice idea or a nice philosophy. Actually, what God did is He put part of His image into people, into mankind. And it's amazing, and it's just a discovery for myself. Just, you know, a couple of years, you know, God changed my life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as a Christian, your life can get very small in church, or your perception of God. And I remember I went on missions for the first time, and my paradigm was shifted about just who God is and what He wants to do. And I went on quite a few missions since then. I went to Malawi, I went around South Africa, went to India, Pakistan, lots of places. And what's really amazing is to see, if you go to different cultures around the world and you spend some time, you get into people's space, you get to notice something really amazing. That the image of God is in every culture. You know, if you go to India, for instance, you know, you can say, well, there's a lot of things weird and wrong in India. But you know what? Indian people are such amazing servants. And they've got such a reverence and respect for God. If you go into Africa, up in Africa where Matthew comes from, they can worship. There's a worshiping culture. And so I can go on and on. But every culture has got a part of the image of God. And God has chosen it like that. So when different cultures come together, when a convergence happens, we see a greater picture of who God is. And it's the same with different generations. It's the same with different denominations. And that is really the heart behind God, because He's a Father. Right, He wants all His children, whatever tribe, tongue. It's amazing. It says that in Revelations, it says that every tribe and tongue, you know, will march into heaven. Every tribe and every tongue, every different culture, and they'll march in, but they'll be singing and they'll be worshiping and they'll raise palm branches in their hands. And also Jesus says that every knee will confess, or every knee will bow, every mouth will confess. Every different group of people. So that is the heart behind convergence. And I want to just quickly do a bit of a recap, actually, of the convergence, the conference from last year. And don't worry if you weren't there. I think more than 50% of the group sitting here wasn't at the conference last year. So don't worry. I'm not going to assume anything of what you heard. But I'm just going to briefly go through just a couple of thoughts, and then I want us to, you know, for the local congregation, for you to sort of measure yourself, You know, because convergence for us, this coming together of different churches and different, and it's really amazing, this conference, the people that come and share are from different denominations. We've had people from Anglican backgrounds to Dutch Reform to, you know, all kinds of denominations that come to share at the conference. And it's really not, it's not like we intentionally said we want a diverse conference. Not at all. The people that God just sent across, you know, Pastor Fred's paths and to, you know, to bring these guys together at the conference are coincidentally people that are very diverse. Some of the speakers are like world-renowned speakers, but they say they want to be at this conference. One of the speakers there, Rick Rousseau, very successful pastor and businessman, he says every year he wants to be at this conference. He asks Fred, can he come? So it's really amazing to see that it's not like an intentional thing, but it's really God coming to say, I want you to get out of that box, and I want you to see how big I am. And that's really what it's about. So I'm just quickly going to share. I want you to sort of, for you that have been there last year, to sort of evaluate you yourself. God has said some things to us. So I want you to sort of check a year later, how have you grown? If you weren't at the conference, then you can just evaluate up till now in your life. You can just say, and then you can sort of identify what are areas that you can become, grow in. And I love what one of the speakers at the conference is, Jason Upton. He's a worship leader. He said, it's not always about becoming better in the kingdom. It's not about being a better worship leader, being a better whatever you can bring, whatever contribution you can bring to God, not a better preacher, not a better businessman for God. It's not always about getting better. It's about getting deeper. And I think that's the purpose of yet tonight, is to say, but listen, how can I get deeper? Because God is endless. You know, just the things that he shared, it just testifies of God is not limited. You know, he's endless. You know, you can spend your whole life trying to get to know God, and still, you'll not even come close. You'll not even get to a 1% of knowing who he is. All right, and of course, we're not confused about who God is. He tells us who he is through his word. You know, so it's, we know who he is. He's committed himself to his word. He's not this question mark, this ununderstandable entity. We can know who he is, but still, there's so much to him that we can discover. And I want us to take us on a journey to discover that again tonight. And at the same time, as you heard in the announcements, conference is coming up. So this is also just to build some expectation. You know, if you realize, but listen, this yearly coming together is not just, it's not just a nice idea. It's not just a coming together. But when we get together, God gives us significant things for us to grow together as individuals, but also as a family. And just if you were wondering, the conference is open to anyone. So if you're not part of Shofar, you are very welcome to also join. You'll surely be blessed. First person and feedback I want to give is from Dr. Corne Becker. And he's in Regent University in the United States of America, but he is actually a South African. Corne Becker, so quite obvious. But he's really been a blessing to us in Shofar, and he's been at the conference for many years. But he says, every place on earth where there's great truth, there's a great contention. Right, you were sharing, Chomotso, where's Chomotso? You went at the conference last year. Where's Chomotso now? There at the back. No. What she shared is exactly what he shared at the message. It was incredible. But she shared about the keys. And what he was sharing on, Dr. Corne Becker, was stewarding the keys that God has given us. And so he says, every place on earth where there's a great truth, there's a great contention. All right? So if you look at anything significant in the Christian life, everything of importance, if you want to pick a fight, you know, in Christian circles, if you've got different denominations, talk about something like baptism. you know, talk about something like tongues. I thought that was so funny. God has got a sense of humor. Or talk about salvation. Or just think for yourself, what are the controversial subjects when it comes to church and the kingdom? Just quickly think of those. And you'll notice that all of those, behind that contention, why do you think there's a contention? Because obviously, if God is God, and if there's an enemy, the devil, he's going to know what God has purposed to be significant in our lives. And of course, the devil's going to resist that. So of course, all of those things, if you want to bring up a fight, talk about baptism. If you want to pick a fight, talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we can go on and on and on. It's not about the denomination or a view tonight. But what I just want to say, and it's not even about yes, baptism, no baptism, or yes, Holy Spirit, no baptism. What I'm saying, and I think what Courtney Backer is saying here, is forget about the contention. Forget about the arguments this way or that way. Just for a moment, stand a bit backward, just from the matter, and just say, just look at the situation, realize, well, the fact that there's a big contention means there must be something significant behind this. So what I always want to encourage you is, if there is a contention about something, because what we often do as Christians is we say, there's a contention, let me stay away. Right? Let me not, you know, get into tongues. Let's avoid that. You know, let's sort of divert from that, and let's divert from that. But now if God determines something significant to be there, you're going to miss out on what he has. So take a step back and say, God, I want to see your heart behind this. I want to see why this is happening. And I can promise you, God's going to bring clarity to you on why it's significant, because with every great truth, as Dr. Conrad Becker says, there's a contention. So he was speaking about the keys. The keys of David, actually, but the keys that Jesus gives us and the keys that God wants to give us. And I'm just going to quickly run through so everyone's just on the same page of what he said. He said four things. Keys, and why I said that is because when you get to the heart behind a contention, what you actually do is you get a key to something in this life. So he says keys are not given in times of comfort. All right? If you look at people of the Bible, if you look at Joseph, if you look at Moses, if you look at all these great men, God gave them something amazing. If you look at Jacob, you know, his worst time was when he was his brother came wanted to kill him. And, you know, then one night he fell asleep and God wrestled with him, and he said, God, I'm not leaving until you bless me. You know, so he fought the whole night. We know the story. And he left there with a key. Every man of God, you know, the keys were given in times of being uncomfortable. And sometimes we get this idea that God wants us to live comfortable lives. And it's not the case. If you want to be someone like the people in Scripture, if you look at Peter, if you look at every significant man in Scripture, they had difficulties, difficult times. But it was right there in those difficult times that God gave them a key. Keys cannot be acquired through human knowledge. That's the second one. Keys are always given through one person, Jesus. Like Chamotza said, Jesus is the key. And then fourthly, the key is the presence of God himself, his presence. So on this section, I want to just quickly ask, and if you're taking notes tonight, you know, I'm going to ask the questions, and you're not going to have time to think of, you know, we've got limited time. But I'm going to give some questions, and I want you to write them down, and then go and think of them, think about them at home. And the one question I want to ask you is, which keys have you discovered this year, if you were at the conference? If you were not, what are the keys in your life? What are the significant things that God has given you? Then the next question is, have you missed some keys? And then the third one is, how did you discover the ones that you did discover? How did it happen? Go and think through your life. The significant things that I have in my life that are precious to me, how did it happen? And go and write that down. All right, so that was Courtney Backer talking about the keys God gives us and how we become good stewards of that. Then Pastor Fred was sharing, and he said, if we minimize the mission, we'll end up scattered. All right, he says, when we minimize the mission, we end up scattered. And what he said was that was so significant that I'm just giving you little bits of what was shared. There's no ways we can cover a whole conference, you know, in one night. But I just want to give you just a couple of thoughts. One thing he said was going to war for the Christian means flicking the light switch. I don't know about you, but I find that very, very, very funny, actually. It's really that simple. For us as Christians, God says that we are light. Now, the darkness is no contention for the light. Have you ever seen light struggle to come through if there's darkness? Have you ever struggled if you flick the light switch that the light struggles? It doesn't. You know, it just... So for us as Christians, it's no contention. You know, and often, you know, we come into this victim mentality as Christians and we think, well, it's very difficult to be a Christian. You know, no. We are light. It's as easy as flicking the switch. There's no contention. And the heart behind what Pastor Fred was sharing here is, if you read Romans chapter 11, verse 19, it says, there's a place of knowing without being grafted in. Actually, it says, Branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. This is Paul speaking in Romans. And what he's referring to, Paul, in Romans is something that Jesus said. He said that if you abide in me, Jesus saying, if you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you stay connected to me, if you are grafted in me, you will bear much fruit. Someone was sharing about fruit earlier. If you are connected into me, you will bear fruit. So the opposite is the case as well. If you are disconnected, you will not have that life flow. Because now if you think of a vine, if you think of the branches, there's a life flow that happens so that the branches can bear fruit. All right, so if there's a disconnect, and that's really what I feel for tonight is where there's a disconnect, God wants to reconnect. And that's what he said, what God's heart was when he was sharing those words through those people at the start of the service. And we're not going to be long. I'll just quickly rush through the rest. But that is the heart of God. He wants you to be connected. He wants you to be grafted in the vine so that you can bear fruit and so that you can enjoy God. So the question I want to leave you on this section is, did you become more grafted or less grafted in this year? Are you more connected or are you less connected? And then part of what Fred said is if you are connected, if you are grafted in, then God does something the same way that he did with his disciples. In John chapter 15, he says, if you are part of the vine, he says to his disciples, then at chapter 20, he appears after his resurrection. And then chapter 21, he commissions them. He commissions his disciple and he says, go into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations. In other words, he says, now go. You are connected. You are grafted. Go and bear much fruit. So the next question is, rate yourself how much you have walked in God's commission in your life. That's the question. Sort of 1 to, you know, from on a scale from 1 to 10, how much have you walked in your commission? Right. Next one is Dr. Carlos Campo. And he said, actually quoted Socrates, who says, an unexamined life is not worth living. Then he goes on, Dr. Carlos Campo, and he says, an unlived life is not worth examining. So he says there's two sides of the coin, all right? There's so much value in going and measuring and investigating, examining lives and seeing what is significant. And, you know, so the first question that he asks is, he says, in a year, you sort of roughly, if you work out, you know, weekends, if you take out holidays, and if you take out the time that you sleep, you've got about 60,070, in other words, 60,070 hours that is yours. So he says, how do you measure your 60,070? How do you know that you are effective? That's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, he says, if you take the place where you are in your life, whether you're a student and you're studying, whether you're in your workplace, if you constantly in your life look at your life as this season in my life, this place that I'm in, is a stepping stone to the next place in my life, then you're missing the heart of God in your life. If you constantly think, well, I'm just here at UCT and I'm studying, but this is just a stepping stone because I really actually want to be an engineer, you know, and you can go on and on and on in your life. But he says that if that's the case, you miss the heart of the mission. You miss the heart of God. You miss the heart of the fact that he's placed you in this season in your life for a significant reason. And it's significant for all of us sitting, no matter what age, no matter what place, there's a significant something. So often, and especially in charismatic churches, we think, we say God has got a purpose for your life. God has got something, you know, and we're so excited about the something we're going to get to, and then we miss out on what's happening now. Because that something is happening right now. God is a God of the now. Amen? He's not the God of 10 years from now. God is not in time, actually. God is outside of time. He looks at the beginning. He sees the beginning from the end. He knows everything as it's going to happen, before it's going to happen. He doesn't even see time. It's right in front of him. I don't know if you've thought about it. Everything that has ever happened to you is right in front of God. And that's going to happen to you. It's a bit mind-shattering, you know. Didn't I say God is big? You know, he's massive. He's huge. So the question is, have you become better at living life? Don't you think that's a good question? Okay? Have you become better at living life? And then the next question is, have you measured life, how you live life? Have you measured? Have you actually gone to sit down? I remember last year after the conference, I was like, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to look. You know, what am I doing with my 60-70? What am I doing in my, you know, 17, 18 hours a day? What am I doing with my time? Because it's actually not my time. It's God's time. What am I doing? Then the next person, we're almost done, is Rick Russo. And it's a very simple thing that he shared. I'm actually just gonna make it short. The quote that I put up there is, he says, the game is out there. So he actually used this as an analogy. I see Loki's laughing because he remembers what happened, what he said. He says, you pitch up at Newlands, and you've got your West Province jersey on, or you've got your Springbok jersey on, and you know you get all psyched up, and the face is painted, and everything, and you're very excited, and you're gunning it, and you're shouting your lungs out. Then Rick Russell says, you're not part of the game. You can dress as nicely as you like. You can shout as hard as you want. You're not going to affect the game. You can think you're going to affect the game. You think that you can have an influence of the game, but you're not part of the game. And then he says, but that's what we as Christians do. We come to church, and we're part of the process. We're part of the cheering. We're part of the excitement. We're part of the process, but we're not part of the game. And he says, the game is not here, not inside the four walls of the church. The game is outside. When we go into the world, where we reach out, we present the love of God to people in different spheres of life. So that's simply that. So the question there is, how much have you grown in moving from your comfort seat? And then he says, just four things quickly. I'm just going to say this very quickly. You need to be sharp to catch this. He says, N.T. Wright says there's four echoes. Every human, every person, there's four longings inside of this, four things that cries out. The first one is the longing for justice, the quest for spirituality, hunger for relationship, and the delight in beauty. There's four desires. Okay, I said I'm going to do it very quickly. I'm not going to spend time on that. I'm going to avoid that temptation. Now, which one of the above have you grown in engaging the world? Quickly say it again. Longing for justice, a quest for spirituality, a hunger for relationship, a delight in beauty. Next person is Bayless Conley. And he says the following. He says, the devil does not give up ground without a fight or without a contest. It makes a lot of sense. Even though we're so often ignorant of the place of the enemy. You know, if you really think about what the things that Jesus says, he says there's a kingdom of darkness. He comes to introduce a kingdom, Jesus himself. He says, the kingdom of my Father, calls it the kingdom of heaven. And he says, this kingdom has come in your hearing, in your seeing me, in miracles happening, in someone getting healed. He says the kingdom has come. But then there's another kingdom. There's the kingdom of darkness. And there's a contest. And the scripture says that the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, there's a fighting that happens. There's one kingdom. If one kingdom advances, another kingdom needs to give way. So that's the essence of what he was saying. I can share so much of what he said. I'm just going to skip over a couple of these things. One of the things that is significant that he said, he says there's some situations in your life as a Christian that can only be overcome by song, by worship. All right? I don't know if you guys that were there remembers. There's some situations. Think of Paul and Silas. They were in prison. All right? They were beaten. They were in the prison, hopeless situation. What did they do? They started worshiping. They started singing. So much so that there was an earthquake and an angel came down and they escaped from prison. All right? Some situations you're not going to get through. So the question I want to ask you is, have you grown in your capacity to worship? The second one, well, actually something else he said is, you'll arrive at your destination if you just don't quit. Okay, there's a contention. Because you're doing something right, because you're doing something advancing the kingdom of God, there's going to be resistance. So the encouragement is just to not quit. So where in your life did you succeed in not quitting? Second last one is Jason Upton. I love this session. It was such a powerful session. He said the following. If you create a place where everything is predictable and consistent, then that is a place where God does not live. And I think that's really powerful. And that's really God. Because what we do, and so often do, is we want to place God in a box. If we can get him in a box, then he's predictable. Now, God is not predictable. You cannot predict God. And I want you to say that over and over to yourself. You cannot predict God. You know, and I've heard this so many times, but still I struggle with it. You know, it's like Paul says, you know, I don't want to do something, but then I find myself doing it. You know, this is sort of like that. I constantly want to box God. I constantly want to control. Because if I can control God, then he's not unpredictable. But God is going to be unpredictable. He's going to surprise us. In fact, he delights in surprising us. He's a good father. All right, so the challenge here is to surrender control. So the question I want to ask is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much is control an issue in your life? That's a difficult question. Hey? How much is control? And I want you to see the heart of the Father. Because the heart of the Father wants to see his children flourish, right? If you've got children, I've got a little baby boy that you saw earlier. And then I've got his older sister, not much older. She's 14 months older. But she's very cute. But she's going through a very, she's not affectionate. She's going through a very inaffectionate time in her life. I don't know why. You have to really contend for a hug, okay? And kisses you don't get. You know, I think we've had a couple of kisses, you know. So I would say, Malaya, give daddy a kiss. And she goes, no. And I say, give daddy a kiss. You know, I tried to get her to give. One day I decided I'm gonna catch her out. I said, don't give daddy a kiss. And then she gave me a kiss. I've got absolutely no idea why I said that. Something to do with the heart of the Father. But the heart of the Father doesn't want to control. But the heart of the Father wants the child, the son or the daughter, to relinquish control so that the Father can take care. All right, does that make sense? So that's the heart why God doesn't want us to take control, but to give control to Him so that He can control our lives. All right. So some of you are like, why do I need to give up control so that God can take control? All right? Sometimes for some of us it's a bit scary because we like to determine the outcomes of our lives. We like to see how it's going to happen. God says, let me determine the outcome. Final one, final session, and this is where we're going to just end off and pray. Dr. Gornay Becker again. He says, salvation without obedience is heresy. Okay? Salvation, and he's got to, you know, take his word on that. You know, he didn't even share on the conference. He's done a lot of studies in church history, incredible. But he says, if you look at the history of the church, if you look at history of Christianity, salvation without obedience is heresy. I don't know about you, when I hear that, I get a bit of a twitch. Because I look at the church today and I think there's a lot of teaching happening. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of, if you want to have a sermon, you can quickly, by a click of a button, get a sermon of people all around the world. There's so much knowledge. There's so much of information, more than has ever been in the world. But now, did you know that having knowledge, God will one day judge you according to what you know? You know, and Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. All right? So it's about doing. It's not just about getting information. It's not just about knowing. But it's about taking, God, what I've got from you, I consider it so precious that I'm not just going to sit back and listen, but I'm actually going to take it seriously. And I'm gonna do it. James says, if you're a hearer of what God says, but you're not a doer, you are deceived. God wants us to be doers. He says three things. Always when the Holy Spirit comes, he says three effects of the Holy Spirit according to Isaiah chapter 6. Three things that always happens is, and that's just the biblical pattern and church history pattern. He says enlightenment. There's an enlightenment that happens, a cleansing that happens, a cleansing from sin, return to holiness, and then thirdly, inflamed, to be inflamed, all right, and empowerment. So the question here, because I think a lot of us, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we stop at the first point. We stop at enlightenment. Okay, but then there's a cleansing. And then there's inflaming that God wants to do. So the question I want to leave with you is, has the depth of your relationship with the Holy Spirit changed? And how has it changed? Over the last year or over the last while if you went at the conference? And the question is, have you moved through all three points? Enlightenment, cleansed, and inflamed. And then something very specifically, Gornay Becker said is meditation. Meditation is so powerful. So have you spent more time on meditation this year? Because if you begin to meditate on the things that is on God's heart, guess what? You can grow deeper. That's where we started off tonight, is about the fact that God doesn't want us just to be better, but he wants us to grow deeper. And I think that is the heart of God for tonight as the words came and we shared. So I want us to quickly just stand and band, if you guys can quickly come up. I want us to actually pray for those various aspects of what was shared. But you know what was so significant? And I want to just leave you with one thought. And then I'm going to have one prayer. One thought. If you look at the life of Jesus, I often say at the churches, or you know, they're bored with what I'm saying already. But Jesus was the most real person that lived. Okay? If you look at the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes, those people, they were not real. They were the complete opposite. Jesus said, you worship me, but your hearts are far away from me. He says, you go and pray on the street corners, but what is happening in your heart is not good. You go all across the world to make a disciple, but then you make him twice the son of hell because that is who you are. That's Jesus saying, it wasn't me. But Jesus was the most real person that ever lived, whereas the Pharisees were not real. And the challenge that God has for us is the fact that the way that God designed us, and we started off by talking about the image of God, the fact that we resemble. Were you standing here, if you didn't know it, there's something of who God is that you reflect to the world, that you can reflect. Some of us brighter than others. God wants it to be bright. But there's something that you reflect or can reflect to this world that God, that people will stand back and they'll say, wow, look at that person. God is amazing. That is the heart of the Father. But at the same time, God has made us. Remember, he made us, he formed us. Before we were born, he formed us. In his mind, he did an amazing job. He went to amazing detail to think of your personality. He went to think of your looks natural. He went to think of everything about you. But at the same time, every one of us have got blind spots. Okay? Every one of us have serious weaknesses. All right? Maybe just a couple, maybe just one. Serious weakness, but it's part of what God's design was. And the reason why he designed us that way is that we would need people around us, that we would need one another. That's why Jesus, one of the last things that he said to his disciples, he said to them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you also love one another. Then he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. And that's what it's about. It's about saying, it's about being real, it's about saying, yes, I've got all these blind spots. And it's about being real and saying to God here tonight, God, I've got a weakness, but I need someone next to me to help me. Because God has made us that we cover each other's weaknesses. I want us to, I'm going to share one thing and I'm going to pray one thing. The one thing I want to pray is for you, for the ability to become real with what is happening in your heart. That is all Jesus wanted. You can go and read through the Gospels. You can look at every encounter that Jesus had with man. Every time a person came to him in weakness and said, I am needy, guess what Jesus said? He said, I am willing. I'm willing. And he's willing. No matter where you are, no matter what state you are in, he's willing to heal you. He's willing to meet you. He's willing to cover you and your blind spots. And maybe you're very successful, but no one knows. I feel there's someone specifically here. No one knows. You look, your life is so successful, but no one knows what is happening on the deepest part of your heart. God says he knows. and he wants to touch you on that inside. So let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your perfect love. I thank you, God, that you love us all unconditionally, Lord, furiously. There's nothing that can hinder your love except us. Except ourselves, we can hinder your love from reaching our hearts. And Father, I pray for every heart that is struggling, God, to receive your love and struggling, God, to be like your disciples, to be real, God, to be like Jesus was real. I pray for the ability and the capacity, God, to know you like you are, to be real and to give everything to you. Father, we bless you and we thank you for this time. Let your name be glorified. Just want to ask, while every eye is still closed, if you are here tonight and you feel like that your heart is distant, your heart's not connected, your heart's not right, I'm not going to ask anyone to come down. I just want to quickly just see a hand, just show a hand, just to indicate to God that you give him that space, you give him that role in your life. You make him king of your life. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Just keep those hands raised. Just going to pray a prayer over you. If there's anyone else, you can still raise your hand. Father, we thank you that you meet those hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you say you meet those who rejoice and does righteously, God, who remembers you in your ways. Father, Father, we want to just bless every hand that is raised, every heart that is crying out to know you in reality, Father, not in a boxed way, not in a limited way, but to know you in your fullness, in the name of Jesus. All God's people say, amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you very much.